Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to JT Patton Shooter and Spy After Action Book Report. This episode is sponsored by Leatherback Bulletproof Backpacks. And today on the show, we have Tier 1 authors Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson, two Navy veterans. One had been a combat surgeon, another an attack submarine officer, although both have numerous other credits to their name. So welcome, Brian and Jeff. Thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. You know, we've had a little bit of chat beforehand, but I didn't get a chance to gush right off, and so I'll save it for this point. Huge fan of your books. I find them to be very realistic, very hard-boiled. For me, there's plenty of great salty field language, and best of all, I think there's that respect that I find in the books, if not, you know, in some cases, almost a love between the operators and the intel weenies. I think that you really capture it well, and I think it's probably one of the more authentic books that I've read, where it really shows sometimes the evolution of those relationships and that respect. And I think I really appreciate, you know, the thoughtfulness that you guys have put into that, and you know, likely demonstrate some of your experiences in that capacity.
Well, for sure, that's the real reason we're looking for in this series. You know, we're trying to show respect, as you the perfect word for it, really respect for the people that we've served with and the communities we've had the honor of serving in. And so, because of that respect, we're sort of obligated to show as much of a realistic portrait of those relationships as we can. You know, that being said, we're also here to entertain. So, you know, by no stretch of the imagination have we resisted the urge to take some poetic license. But we try to capture the characters and relationships as realistically as possible for that very reason, that we've got a lot of love and respect for the folks we've served with on both sides of that coin. So to show it any other way would be not cool at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I appreciate the comment, JT, that you said that you you noticed that we have some evolution in relationships, and that's something that Jeff and I talked about when we were planning this series, is that when you get introduced to this series, you know, starting in the first book, you're stepping into these characters' lives, and you're not coming in when they're born, you're coming in middle of their life, and so, you know, we tried to create this dynamic where there's a bunch of relationships that are already established, but then there's some new ones. And that's just anytime you go to a new command or your new job, you know, you've got some people you've got relationships, and some you got that initial friction. And so it's sort of fun over the evolution of the series. We got the fourth book coming out later this year, that you can see that, you know, our protagonists, some relationships are rock solid. They've been around many years, but others on a little uncomfortable, or you're getting to watch them evolve over the course of the books.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic, and certainly look forward to reading those myself. Can you tell us a little bit about your military background that, you know, add some of the insights that you're able to bring to the book, some of the context that you're able to share, and you know, and how it basically has rooted you into this subgenre by taking some of your professional you know, passed into now the fictional world.
Well, sure. So I'll go first. It's Jeff. My background is, you know, my mom would say I just can't keep a job because I've done a lot of different things. Been in the aviation community. I've been in other government work. In the Navy, most of my Navy career was spent as when I went back into the Navy, went in as a surgeon. And wound up deploying with the Marines on my first deployment. And downrange, I ran into some guys from my past life when I was working for other government agencies, and wound up being recruited to serve in the Naval Special Warfare and to invent some new things for direct action support, et cetera. So it was sort of those relationships that I built during those times in the Navy that gave me insight into, like you were talking about, the relationships and how things work that are a little bit different than the Superman, superhero comic book kind of way that you often see special warfare activities, especially JSOC level activities depicted in fiction and in film. And so when I met Brian with his background, I'll let him tell you about his background in a moment. You know, it was a perfect, perfect marriage of experiences that would allow us to paint these realistic pictures of not just the sort of the actions that they're involved in.
Sure. Brian?
Yeah, so my experience was I was in the nuclear Navy, so I was a submarine officer on a fast attack stationed out of Pearl Harbor, and just a completely different operating environment than the one that Jeff was in, but a lot of the same stressors and objectives, and obviously you have to rely on teamwork and a cohesive unit to get your job done. And but the boat that I was on, we were lucky enough to have the type of assets that we did all kinds of interesting stuff. We did surveillance. We did battle group escort. We did blue water operations. We did littoral operations. You know, our boat was one of the boats that fired salvos in Gulf Wars, Tomahawks, and things like that. And you know, sometimes you even get to play bus driver and drive the JSOC guys around. So it was a great time, and met a lot of great people. But it's just interesting to be on the pointy tip of the spear, whether it's on the tip of that spear is a torpedo or a tomahawk or it's an actual you know, SOP mod M4 out there in the field.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. So I understand that both of you guys met over at Thriller Fest as debut authors, and I remember hearing something, whether it was in an interview, maybe I read it or somehow, but there was some concept about SEALs and subs that sank as an idea, and some other type of a collaboration came about. Can you share a little bit about how you guys got together and put this masterpiece together?
Yeah, well, it wasn't as smooth as you made it sound, that's for sure. But in the very first Thriller Fest that I went to, I was a debut author with some of the standalone books I had done already, and Brian was also a debut author. I'll tell you, it's not my venue, like the cocktail party and socializing and, you know, getting to know people. My wife, she's great at that stuff. I'm not. And so I had actually sat in a hotel room with a little bulletin flipping through and memorizing pictures of guys whose bios said they were military. So I was like, oh, these will be guys I can talk to and not be uncomfortable. But Brian was one of them. And so we're at the little cocktail reception having a glass of wine, and I see this guy in his sports coat. I was like, oh, yeah, that's that guy. That's him. So I went over and chatted with him, and instantly the military connection, I know you can appreciate this, your military connection is there. You make friendships in the community very easily, almost as easily as you do as you find it difficult outside. So we became friends immediately, and our kids were the same age, and it's just all that stuff clicked. And it was, I guess, some months later, we stayed in touch. We were chatting on the phone and helping each other with our book launches. And Brian sort of floated the idea. He's like, hey, you know what? I know you got this background in the special warfare community and, you know, this other counterterrorism stuff you've done. And I have this idea, and it was his idea for sure. I have this idea for this sort of SEAL-oriented book where we could also combine the stuff that I have in the background with subs. And what do you think about co-authoring? And immediately, of course, I said, absolutely not. Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't imagine how that could possibly work. Like, I liked Brian, but it's like, dude, I mean, you know, writing is a very solitude thing. I just couldn't imagine it would work. But he was pretty persistent. And, you know, I was playing hard to get, but he floated it a couple more times. And what happened was, as we were going along, we're sort of brainstorming this first book and sort of the concept for the series. And it started getting really exciting. Like, the story was just really cool. And we were doing it together anyway. And I told him, you know, I'll just help you with it. And so finally he said, look, here's the deal. Let's write 5 chapters. If it's not working, you can keep the book. No problem, no hard feelings. And if it is working, we'll keep going. I was like, well, I can't say no to that. So we sat down and we wrote 5 chapters, and I think it took us about 4 more months to write the whole rest of the book. And I've never looked back. It's the greatest writing experience ever, writing together with Brian, for sure. So it's, yeah, it wasn't exactly like, hey, let's do it, and it all came together. There was a little bit of a courtship, wouldn't you say, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, JT, do you see what I have to deal with? I mean, this is psyops, you know, right from the beginning. I mean, first he stalks me. He admits it. He stalks me with the program. And then he turns me down and plays hard to get. I mean, this is the type of guy that I have to deal with on a daily basis.
I guess it's better that he's looking to chat you up than put you in a sleeper.
I know. No, we just have such a great time. And the thing is, and we talk about this a lot, I mean, like Jeff said, writing is sort of a lonely endeavor. And in one sense, it's fun because you get to play God. You control all the cards, all the characters. You have complete autonomy to do whatever you want. So, you know, there is a little bit of that that's fun. But for the most part, you know, you get stuck. You have writer's block. Okay, well, you're stuck until you figure it out. And since we both came from the service, collaboration, teamwork, I mean, those were the things that you fall back on when you're having a hard time. And so it just seemed like a natural thing to both of us, you know, once we got started, like, hey, this model can really work because we can leverage each other's strengths. It's kind of like having a workout partner. You know, some days it's hard to crawl out of bed. You don't want to go to the gym, but you got that other guy counting on you. And quite frankly, the other benefit is, like, if one of us is tied up or we can't do something that day or a couple of days, the project still keeps moving forward because the other guy's always working on it, thinking about it. So it's just a lot of fun whenever you got to brainstorm an idea, you call up the other guy, hey, what do you think of this? How could we do this? And, oh, yeah, you know, we could do that, and we could do this. And it just sort of builds on itself, and we just have this natural momentum that sort of momentum and enthusiasm, I guess, would be the two things that sort of we didn't really think about when we started this that now we cherish as the best parts of the endeavor.
Well, and sure. The enthusiasm especially, I think, because, you know, he's making it sound like it's very professional, and it's not. I mean, we've sat on panels with other co-authors before and listened to their method, and they're all so professional and organized. And I'm like, we're just like a couple of jackasses, like in the backyard at 7 years old with a toy rifle going, dude, let's do this. And so it's insanely fun because we're just like a couple of guys brainstorming these cool stories, and it's not really very organized or professional, but it works. Like it totally works. I like at this point, I can't even imagine the thought of writing a book by myself. And I was like, oh, do I really want to do that? Like I could do it with Brian. It'd be so much more fun. And you know, it'll be better when we're done. For sure. That's how I feel about it now.
Well, I could almost see the wives coming in. What are you guys doing? Goofing around? No, we're working.
Right. We're working. That's right.
So do you even though you keep it a little bit light and loose, do you have some type of swim lanes that you stick to? I know you started out kind of flip-flopping based on point of view. Does one of you, you know, focus on one type of a character or a specific character, or do you, you know, swap it out on the rewrites? Do you focus on, you know, maybe Jeff having more on the medical side if you've got, you know, a big fight scene? I mean, how do you guys make it work when you have to formalize it a little bit?
Well, I think we do a little bit of both.
Crack at this one?
Yeah, go ahead, for sure.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that what's exciting about it for us is that we both have overlapping interests. So when we sit down in the early stages, we brainstorm the plot. And then we say, okay, you know, we're just frank about it. What is interesting to you? Like, where do you want to start? Like, what scenes, you know, get you your motor revving? And so then we'll sort of break up the chapters that way. And so there is a lot of separation by point of view because it is nice once you get inside a character's head that you can keep writing them. So I wouldn't say that we don't stick to that 100%, Jeff, do we? I mean, we do switch characters, but that at least gets us started.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. Like we'll start that way, and then halfway through the book, it's more based on a certain plot element. So like I might be writing John Dempsey's POV early on while he's doing Kelso Jarvis and maybe the bad guy. But then as you move forward into different areas of the plot, it just makes more sense for us to swap, and I'll do a Kelso chapter and he'll do a Dempsey. But the thing that makes it work and makes it sort of blend together well is that everybody has a hand in every chapter. So while we split it up from point of view as we move forward, every few chapters that each of us writes, we send to the other guy and they rewrite it. And so those elements that Brian does really, really well find their way into every chapter that I write and vice versa. So that in the end, I'm going to be, this sounds like I'm making it up, but in the end, there'll be times when like my wife or a friend will say, oh yeah, did you write that chapter? And I don't know. I can't remember if I did or not.
Yeah.
And that sounds like something you just say in an interview, but it's true. It just gets so, it goes back and forth so much and it becomes so seamless that it's just us writing the book for sure.
Yeah. It's like you answer the question, yes and no. I wrote it and I didn't write it and I did write it because our hands are on every single chapter together. So it's impossible to pull out lines and say, well, I did this and he wrote that. I mean, and I think that sometimes the metaphor we use, it's like, you know, you wouldn't look at your kid and say, well, that, you know, if you have multiple kids in a family, well, that's my kid and that's your kid. No, like if you're married and you raise a child, like, you know, you're both putting input into it. And very early on in the process, Jeff said something that was very wise. It's the only wise thing I think he's ever said to me. I'm just kidding. No, he said, you know, we have to look at this as our story. Like at the end of the day, it's our story, and it doesn't really matter how we get from point A to point B as long as we're both really proud of it at the end and we tell the story that we want to tell. And I just keep that in mind in every book, and it's something that's worked for us. So,
although if there's something that you read you didn't like, that might have been Brian. I'm just going to just throw that out.
Well, let me ask you then this other part, because, you know, obviously talking to you guys, you know, seemingly laid back, jovial. I know that everybody's got a different game face if they have to, you know, step up. The books themselves, while there is, you know, some play, some tongue-in-cheek stuff, there's a lot of angst, there's a lot of anger, there's extreme sense of urgency in a lot of it. It's definitely fast-paced and you know, quite exciting. You know, where are you guys mustering that type of you know, deep and dark emotions that I think you really convey well in pages?
Well, I mean, I think that everything we write is fiction for sure, but it's all impacted not just indirectly but often directly by our personal experiences. You know, I spent a lot of time in working in the special warfare community, and I've lost a lot of friends. I've experienced that urgency of, you know, something's going on. We got to get there because our buddies are there. So those are emotions that I felt. And I know Brian has been in situations that have brought those emotions up in his community as well. And so I think that that's something that comes very naturally. And I think that when you look at the police detective books that you love, it's not uncommon to find later that, oh, the guy that wrote it is a retired detective. And I think the same is true in military fiction. You think of the guys you really like, that you really enjoy reading, it's not uncommon that they are the guys that have a military background. And that's why it works. It's because they are able to draw not on the storyline stuff, not on the geopolitical stuff, but the relationships, which you wisely talked about earlier, because that's a key to a good story. And also those internal motivations and emotions. I mean, that stuff is hard to fake. I mean, you can twist your own experience and project it a little bit, but if you've been there and done that, it's so much easier to get in the mind of a character that's trying to do something, because you can say, what would I do, or what would my buddy so-and-so do in that situation? And then when you get the book back from one of those guys that you served with, and they're like, oh, dude, that was right on. Man, that's better than any 5-star review you get. That's better than a Kirkus review. When you get that, you're like, yeah, okay, now we're doing something special. But I think that's where it comes from. You agree, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. I got nothing to add.
Okay. Well, you guys have, if my memory serves, 3 Tier 1 books, fourth coming out later this year. And I would also add, while you've got the books, the narration for the audio is fantastic. Can you know, for those listeners that are less familiar, I know we kind of jumped right into a lot of these questions and conversation, but can you give us an overview of what the Tier 1 books are and what Ember is and how you've blended this intelligence and operations in this world that you've created?
Yeah, sure. I think that, first of all, thanks for noticing on the audiobooks. So I just want to give a quick shout out to our voice actor, Ray Porter, who's just just at the top of his game. I mean, he's just quite frankly one of the best in the business, and it's amazing to listen to the stories. Even though these, you know, we're the authors, I get really excited for when that audiobook is coming out on that first day I download it and listen to it, because he just brings a richness to the characters, and they, you know, through the way that they talk and interact, it's almost like they become just real people, and it's just fantastic. So we've been very, very happy with all the work that he's done, and I think the fans agree. So that's what I have to say about the audiobooks, and maybe Jeff, you can talk about how the series kicks off and sort of where we were and
so
where we're
just
going.
Sort of the big summary statement of how Ember came to be. The basic story that we have here is about a guy. John Dempsey is our main protagonist. He's a Tier 1 SEAL, JSOC operator, at the top of his game, running his own squad. And there's a horrible event that occurs that results in him losing basically all of his family, because that's who these guys have become. He is presumed dead, and he is then wakes up in an airplane where he is recruited to join this shadowy organization called Ember, and given the task of hunting down the terrorists who are responsible for this ambush. And the guy that is going to be running this unit as his boss is his former CSO from when he was at the Tier 1 SEAL unit. And so that sort of kicks off the series. That's the basic premise. And in the first trilogy of books, we try to march out Dempsey's evolution from, you know, a door-kicking SEAL into something more, something that is more a blend, as you pointed out, of the intelligence gathering and covert operations combined with the direct action of a SEAL team. And so Dempsey is running this special activities division group within Ember that is the, you know, they're the direct action arm that executes the mission once all the intelligence is gathered. And so that's sort of the basic premise. And in those first three books, he is indeed just prosecuting different missions to uncover who it is that is responsible and bring them down. And then as we move forward in the books, we have this evolution of him, but also all these other characters. There's a character, one of my favorites, I think, is Elizabeth Grimes, who is a girl who joins the group that is very close-mouthed about what her background is. Everybody's operating on a knock, so nobody really knows who anybody is unless they tell them. And she's not quick to share into what's going on, but she, and we don't want to ruin anything for anybody, but she's an amazing character, and seeing her evolution from this angry woman with an agenda to truly becoming a team operator is kind of fun. But that's sort of the big tag, I guess.
And Brian, do you have any favorites of the characters that you guys have developed?
Oh yeah. Well, I really enjoy, like Jess says, a lot of times I'll spend some time working on the villain side of the house. So I really enjoyed working on the villain in the first trilogy, Amir Modiri, and sort of getting inside his head. And, you know, there's this great line from one of the Dan Brown books, Angels and Demons, that, it, you know, depending on which side of the battle you're on, you know, an angel can look like an angel on your side, looks like a demon to the other. So it is interesting to get inside the head of your enemy and think about, you know, from growing up in a different culture, different religion, different ideology, different states, you know, different pressures, socioeconomic and family. And you can see how, I feel like if you can put yourself in that person's shoes and see how maybe they could end up in the place they were, then the decisions that they take and the emotions that they feel become much more relevant to the story. And we don't, you know, Jeff and I set out to do this. We said, you know, one thing we want to have is not just longitudinal hero arcs. We wanted to have longitudinal villain arcs, which is something a little different than some of the other our contemporaries do, where you have a new bad guy in each book. We don't do that. So yeah. The first trilogy, and that just sort of mirrors real life. You get some bad guys, and a lot of them get away, and they persist. So that's kind of what we do is the Tier 1 is structured out on a series of trilogies where you get to really get to know the nemesis and his henchmen and his team battling against our guys over a series of books. And I think that resonates with folks. They feel the stakes and they feel the pressure that the heroes do because of that.
And
it's fun to write through the POV of the bad guys too, for that reason. So, I mean, that way you really see, you get a much richer texture, I think, when you have a POV for a bad guy and you meet his wife and his kids and you see his, his wants and desires, in a non-caricatured stereotype bad guy way. I think it makes the books, I mean, it's pretty clear who the good guys and the bad guys are, but you do see the bad guys differently when you see them through that prism, I think. And Brian is awesome at that. He's really, in fact, he might be a bad guy. I just thought of that.
Yeah. Just wait for the reveal.
So speaking of reveal, tell us about the upcoming novel. When is it coming out? And then can you share a little bit about the premise of that?
Yeah. So
you
want to
do that,
the fourth book. Yeah. The fourth book comes out November 6th. Called American Operator, and it kicks off the next trilogy in Tier 1 series. And this one starts off with a terrorist attack in Turkey, which targets the U.S. ambassador and his chief of staff. And his chief of staff is a woman, and she ends up getting taken. So that kicks off the adventure. Don't want to say too much more than that, but there'll be lots of action. Dempsey, I think just the title itself really sums up what we're dealing with here, which is American Operator. And it's a lot about Dempsey going to do the type of mission that he's evolved to do.
Good. Jeff, do you have anything to add?
No, I think that's it. You know, you don't want to give away too much, but I think that one thing that the readers of the Tier 1 series will hopefully be excited about is, you know, as he said, he referred to it as the next trilogy, and we do sort of write that way. The first trilogy, we sort of, it's never been written on a book, but we informally call it our Persian trilogy because of the Iranian connection. For the people that have read those books, they know what we're talking about. And this one we are shifting. I'm not going to give away where we're shifting, but this is a unexpected player. You know, the book starts off looking like a clear-cut terror type book, but then there is a little bit of a reveal towards the end of the book that there's a whole new player involved, and I think that's going to make it kind of fun and exciting for the fans, or I hope it will.
That sounds great. And we've only got a couple minutes left, and again, that goes by pretty fast, but how many requests do you guys get for Dempsey to rejoin his family? I know that I love how you guys have put that together, where he tracks them on Facebook to see how they're doing, and there have been some incidents where he's been able to see some, you know, some clips of the family. What's the response been on that?
Well, I will tell you, there definitely are some, including my wife. She's really upset that Dempsey is not back with his family, but she may have, you know, sort of personal motives there. But, yeah, we do get that. For sure we get that. But what I will tease the readers with is that you have not seen the last of Dempsey's family. There's a lot ahead for Jake and for John Dempsey and the rest of his family. So we haven't moved on past that. Don't worry, there's more to follow.
That's awesome. Brian, anything from you?
No, we're just really appreciative. We do like feedback. We love hearing from people. So, you know, if you're listening to the show today, you can reach out to us. You can send something to JT. He can forward on to us. You can go to our website, andrews-wilson.com, and we've got our email addresses on there. So please feel free to, you know, reach out, say hello, give us feedback. We answer questions about characters and plots. We've got a mailing list. You can sign up for that, too, and get, you know, updates. We're not going to inundate your mailbox with emails, but, you know, once a quarter or something like that, give you an update. And we do giveaways from time to time and stuff. So please feel free to engage us, and we love hearing from people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sounds good. Well, thanks so much, Jeff and Brian. This has been the duo of Wilson and Andrews and the Tier 1 series. I highly recommend that you get out and, again, pick up the books or listen to the audios. As they mentioned, the audios are a real treat. It's almost like a play. The differences in characters really paints a vivid backdrop to what's going on. So I highly encourage you to do so. So thanks again, guys, and hope to have you back a little closer to your launch.
Awesome.
Oh, thanks
so much, man. We sure had fun.
Great. Well, take care and hope to see you guys around.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.